Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Bell Red Radio. My name's Matt Weston, and today I'm joined with a friend of mine. His name's Taylor. How are you doing tonight, Taylor?
Doing wonderful, Matt. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. So the idea here is that the Texans are very bad. Their season's completely over. It's collapsed at 0-3. There's only a 2.7% chance of making the playoffs. They're the worst coached team in football. And I still like football. I still love football. I still enjoy watching the other teams play football. And so what we're going to try to do for the rest of the year is do a preview podcast so we can still talk about football and enjoy football, because the football we're going to be watching predominantly on Sunday is going to be some really bad football. So tonight we're going to talk about four games, and the games we're going to talk about are Miami, New England, Kansas City, Denver, Detroit, Dallas, and Baltimore, Pittsburgh. I don't know the order we're going to go in yet, but that's who we're going to talk about.
That was the most depressing opening I've ever heard in my life.
It's been terrible.
Even as a Cowboys fan, I've never heard something so terrible. Like, what if you're complaining about a coach? Okay, let me ask you, because I'm a dynasty Texans fan. As a Cowboys fan speaking, who'd you rather have, Jason Garrett or O'Brien?
I mean, there really shouldn't be a choice between either, you know?
Oh.
I would, I guess, like...
But that's the spot we're in.
Yeah, I guess so. But y'all have won a game, so the season's not over yet. It could be over. But y'all won a game, though, at least.
I still feel like your offense looks better than ours, except each time you lose by about 7 points. I think it's just a trend you guys love to do.
Well, it's like you watch a team where you have Deshaun Watson and you rank 31st in most play-action passes run. You don't use him as a runner at all whatsoever. You don't do anything to get your receivers open. You don't help out your bad offensive line whatsoever. And like, you're constantly putting pressure on your defense, who has secondary, who's struggling to get healthy, or certainly get used to playing. Like, Merciless and Klein have been very bad so far because they didn't play much this summer. And without that pass rush, the defense is bad. And so they're constantly, like, down, like, 14-3. All the points they're scoring is just, like, kind of garbage time catch-up points. And the game's been much worse than the final score ever has really indicated.
All right, I'm giving you Jason Garrett then. All right, sounds good. I'm glad we settled that. That's the only thing I need.
So I guess what we can do is, you pick a game, and I'll pick a game, and then you pick a game, and I'll pick the last game. And we'll kind of do it like checkers, you know, a real diagonal matter. So which game are you going to talk about first?
I'm terrible at checkers. All right, we're going to talk about the Dallas versus Detroit game, since we already were talking about Dallas, so why not kind of go off of that a little bit here. So after last week, yeah, I've lost all confidence. I'm not going to lie to you. I have lost every single thing. I thought we would be decent last week, and... again, I don't even blame the defense. Dak and Zeke, I felt like they blew it completely. And I believe they ran the read option twice, which is great. I mean, that's good because Dak is known for throwing the ball.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that worked out. And then Zeke, you know, fumbling, stepping out of bounds when it should have been touchdown. Tell you what, I hate my team. So for this week, since last week, you know, I decided to be so confident that we were going to destroy Seattle, I want to talk about more about Detroit, especially because of what they did against New England. That was extremely impressive, even though I still feel like if Matt Patricia's going to beat one team, why not it be his old team
to
do that defensive coordinator?
But usually it doesn't work like that, though. Usually those coaches always lose to the Patriots. I think he's the first one to actually beat Belichick.
And it looked like he dominated Belichick, too, which is so weird. But maybe his team finally turned it around. I don't know. In my opinion, though, I feel like Matt Stafford is going to destroy the Dallas Cowboys. I am excited. He is coming home. He is going to destroy it.
Is it in Dallas?
Oh, it's in Dallas. And by the way, I really hope he doesn't destroy us. I hope that this is kind of reverse psychology that I'm doing. Yeah. But he's going to come into town. We're all going to cheer for him. And he's going to destroy us. And Dak's going to throw about 3 interceptions, and Zeke's going to fumble another 3 times.
Yeah. Well, that Detroit game was super weird because they gave up 41 points to the Jets. They gave up 30 points to the 49ers. And then they gave up – it's off the top of my head, but I think they only gave up 10 points to New England. And, like, Brady had nobody open the entire game. But there wasn't even a lot of pass pressure at all either. He just kind of stood back there looking, couldn't find anybody. They did a really bad job converting on third downs. Brady only completed 14 passes that game. I've never seen that happen in my entire life. The Lions also ran like 75 plays. They ran 30 more plays than the Patriots in that game. And their offensive line was just spectacular. They Kerryon Johnson finally ran for 100 yards. The first time that's happened in Detroit since 2014. And the middle of the field was entirely open. He just ran forever. So I don't know if it's like the Lions know how to play football now, how they should be playing football, because I think they have a top five offensive line. Or this is just, this guy knows the Patriots offense in and out. He knows their defense in and out. And just kind of everything went perfectly for him for one night.
You know, I still didn't understand the first two games, though, even still of Detroit's season. I mean, because Matt Stafford has the weapons. He has everything, it seems. I don't know, maybe it was jitters from that team. I feel like this week, though, between both of these teams will say a lot. Because if Detroit handles Dallas, like, easily, then you could say that now they're back in it.
Yeah.
They're back in the race to now try to join that wild card. Hell, even win their division. While if Dallas were to then lose, what is everybody saying? I mean, I would hope then we're saying bye-bye Jason Garrett, but I can't say that since, you know, Jerry Jones is the one that's coaching the team. And since his mother's still alive till this day, I'm pretty sure I'm stuck with him forever and ever. But when it comes to kind of the reverse situation at the same time, well, if Detroit then lose, then we're back to Matt Patricia. You beat New England. You just beat your old team. Of course, you want Dallas. You're back in a mix. You're playing with my heart again. I'm a true believer.
And that's what I think is kind of annoying about the NFL. What makes it great is you only play 16 games. Each week means so much in the present, and there's such big up and down swings and all. And it takes like 4 weeks for like actual trends to emerge. And for, like, you have a better understanding what happened actually 4 weeks ago. Because you're so caught in the moment, like, how one game can flip the narrative so quickly is really funny to me.
Just give me the read option, man. That's all I want. Just give me the read option. Zeke is having 5.7 yards per carry. He is leading the NFL. Just give the man the damn ball. That's all he can do is run. I get it. You want to turn Dak into the ultimate passer because what does Jerry Jones love as well? He loves the spotlight. He loves the entertainment value, kind of like what Romo gave him. That's not what Dak is supposed to do. And yet, even with the receivers, I still don't get it. I really thought this was going to be a read option type of year of Zeke and Dak going back and forth, but instead it's him trying to bomb it down to receivers that nobody believes in.
Yeah.
So my gut's telling me that Detroit's going to destroy Dallas, but my heart is telling me we have a shot.
Yeah. I mean, it should, because – Detroit's been bad this year until last week. And also, Detroit always plays those games, too, where it always comes down to the very last second. And so if you're a Lions fan, your entire season, or if you know, the Lions in general, your entire season depends on your one-possession record and beating teams who are 500 and below. And if they win all their games against bad teams, they win, you know, they win close games against them, then their season ends up okay. For Prescott, I was looking at numbers of him today. So he's only thrown 7 passes, 15 yards down the field this year.
Irrelevant.
He's completed 2 of them for 84 yards.
I love
60
it.
Of those came from that Tavon Austin catch.
I love it.
He's had, in his career, he's played 35 games. 15 of those games, he's failed to throw for 200 passing yards.
Yes, it's wonderful.
Right now this year, if you include sacks, which is, so if you go by yards an attempt, it's just how many attempts divided by your passing yards. If you go net yards an attempt, it add sack
just
losses.
Don't make
to their
me
bring up
like Troy Aikman.
This is probably my favorite stat though. Right now he's averaging 4.39 net yards an attempt. Ezekiel Elliott's averaging 5.7 yards an attempt. So Elliott's running the ball more than every carry he has. And Prescott's getting
good
here. It's absurd. I've never seen this before.
It's
2018.
Listen. I get it. But the thing is, Dak is that game manager, and again, I love that he actually has the legs underneath him. For him and Zeke to be able to go back and forth and to kind of keep the defense off balance, because in the moment that you have them confused on which one to select and which one to pick on the run, then you can start having the deep ball threat. The problem is they're immediately going to that deep ball each and every single time. And I get it. Even with Dak's career number so far, he is just that short passer. What is Brady, though? What is Brady doing every single Super Bowl?
He changes.
What do you mean it changes to who he throws the ball to?
No, but
it's still 5 to 7 yard passes.
It depends on who they have, the receiver.
He's still okay. Listen, everybody is saying that he's doing bad right now because he doesn't have the weapons. What is everybody saying is going to happen after this week when he gets Edelman back? He's going to have a guy there. He's going to be coming back to where he once was because he's going to have his slot guy that he's going to be able to throw that 7 yard pass to. We have Cole Beasley. He's our 7 yard guy. I love Cole Beasley. Have you seen the rap career? It's wonderful. However, in the end, I hate that they're turning him into the long ball guy because even with your stats, I agree with all of them,
like,
and I'm fine with
that. That's only 7 throws downfield. Like, Case Keenum's thrown 17 passes
downfield.
Oh, my
God. Are you?
You know what I mean? Like, 7's a very small number so
far. But you love Case Keenum.
I do. But I'm saying, like, Keenum's, I think, like, 7th and pass attempts greater than 15 yards. 7, that's it. Like, he's, like, 22nd in the league right now.
But
I think Albert Wilson's thrown more deep passes than Dak Prescott has.
And that's completely fine with me because I don't even believe that's what our offense should be doing.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, who do you want him to throw that deep ball to? Tavon Austin, when he finally confuses the corner and he's able to burn past.
Yeah, well, the idea is that you run the ball enough and you have play
that's
action
right.
And then throw downfield. And then you have, like, three or four plays a game that you know that, hey, like, this is – whenever we get this look, we're going to go this play and then this is going to set this throw, you know?
What is
and
Dallas
just don't
not
have
doing,
that.
Though? They are not running the ball as much as they should. That's what it is.
Well, I think they're not
– against Carolina. What are they trying to do? Bomb it downfield? You're down by 8.
They're not throwing it downfield. They're throwing it short a lot. And they shouldn't be throwing it as much as they should. They should be running it more than they are. But everything's just short, though. It doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. It's super ineffective.
All right, I'll give you Jerry Jones and Jason Garrett for Bill O'Brien.
That's fine.
Okay.
the other thing, too, is that the offensive line's not as good for Dallas this year as it has been before. Prescott's been sacked 11 times this year. Connor Williams, I don't think, is very good at all.
I don't know why
he's still playing left guard. Also, losing the best center in football is really detrimental. And Tyron Smith looks super creaky.
He's old, like, man. I don't know. He's not really old. It's just more he's broken down.
Yeah, like
I kind of feel bad for the guy at this point because even going into the season, they were saying his back hurt. They were also saying, like, his front hurt, like his chest.
Yeah.
Was hurting. And I was like, okay, so what is holding this guy up?
It looks like he has an exoskeleton on.
Yeah, like
he looks like a Transformer.
I'm pretty sure they have some guy.
Yeah.
Okay, well, hold on. We both know Jerry Jones has the money. You think he's developed the Iron Man
suit
and just put it on? It's underneath his pads, and it just kind of sits him up on his own.
Yeah, yeah.
And he can only stand there, but he can't really move.
Yeah, he moves, like, side to side. And keep it. If you take it off, though, so he probably just collapses into just, like, a heap. Like, you know, if you die by a flash flood, it pretty much evaporates your bones, turns into a big puddle of skin, rips all your clothes off. And then they just find this puddle of you.
What?
That's Tyron Smith whenever you take off his exoskeleton.
That was dark.
That's how it works. I'm freaked out.
I love it.
Yeah, well, that's what happens when you go to the desert and you think about these sort of things. Also, Dallas is 31st in points scored. I feel like the only team – I didn't look this up, but I'm pretty sure the Cardinals are the only team that are scoring less points per game than Dallas. And Sam Bradford's averaging 5 yards an attempt, which is last in football right now.
I'm okay with it. Irrelevant. It's fine. I'm okay with it.
So the other thing about Detroit, too, is their offensive line's great, like I was mentioning. They've only had about 2 sacks this year. That's the best part of Dallas' defense. It's their pass rush.
I agree.
And they didn't rush the passer very well at all against Seattle, which is super surprising. And they didn't blitz really at all either. And they blitzed super effectively in their first 2 games. And so I would be concerned, you know, if I was a Dallas fan about them not getting a pass rush against Seattle and having to go up against a much better offensive line than Detroit has.
Yeah. For me, more than anything, though, I feel like the defense did its job. I'm really not going to – because when we needed to hold them, we held them. And it was just the fact that our offense was never able to get going until certain drives when they were finally opening up the offense, running the read option, like I was saying before. When it comes to the defense, though, guys are going to be going in and out. Sean Lee, of course, already injured that second half. I don't believe he came back in. So I'm not even sure if he's going to be coming back.
No, I think he's out for 3 or 4 weeks.
Exactly right, which is typical Sean Lee.
You think Jalen Smith and then Bandash can play well enough to take up for it?
I do. I really do. And even if they don't after this week, I'm excited because I get Bruce Irving back for the following week. And so either way, I'm actually very confident with our defensive line. And so for this upcoming week against Detroit, I actually have a lot of faith in the defense. I still feel like either way we're going to hold them underneath 24 points, and I'm feeling like a score of 27-21. Dallas.
Yeah. I'm going to pick Detroit for sure. I just think their pass block is going to be more than good enough against Dallas' defensive line. I don't know how well they're going to be able to run the ball, but also, like, Dallas' secondary isn't very good, and the Lions have just that kind of vicious trio of receivers. They're really good at catching, creating yards after the catch. And then defensively, I do think Dallas will run all over them. I just don't think Dallas will be able to score enough points as Detroit. So I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be the same way, the same score, like 27-21, 27-24, maybe even like 27-17. But I think Detroit wins this one, though.
You know what? I hope you're right.
Yeah, okay. If Dallas does win, how badly do you want them to trade for Earl Thomas? And what
before
would you
the
offer?
Season, listen, before the season starts, I don't blame them. Because apparently, according to reports, it was we offered that second-round pick for Earl Thomas, and they still said they wanted a first. I don't know if I would feel confident in giving a first away. The defense still looks fine, and we've lost literally about three of the safeties. So it's been great to have Earl Thomas, and at this point, I would do two second-rounders.
Yeah.
I would do this second round of coming, next second round. I still don't think I would do a first, though.
Yeah.
But I would give you two second-rounders.
Yeah. That game was fun last weekend because he was far away.
He bowed. He won us. And the thing is, as a fan, too, even when he bowed after intercepting, ending the game, I'm just sitting there watching me and like, man, you SOB, I want you so bad on my team.
Yeah.
And that's what was kind of just – It was a laughing moment, but also Jerry, I hate you moment, because he should have been on our team.
Yeah.
And that was his way of saying, this is for you.
You will never get this. You will never get
exactly
this.
Exactly right. It was throwing it in our face, but also at the same time, he wants us.
Yeah.
And I want him.
And he was the best player on the field the entire game.
He was.
You were watching me just make all these plays. It's always out there, always around the ball.
He just wants to do it for us, though.
Yeah.
That's all it is, because then I guarantee you for this upcoming week, he'll be great. I mean, he'll still be Earl Thomas, but he just won't be like how he was. He wants to show off for the woman he wants, which is, Dallas.
Yeah, he just wants to get paid. And I like how he's just showing. He doesn't. He's like, if I'm hurting a little bit, I'm going to practice. I'll need practice. And he just kind of shows up on Saturday night and then goes to the game on Sunday and just dominates. That's a Hall of Famer there.
It was impressive.
All right, so I'm going to talk about – I don't want to talk about this game because I hate watching these two teams play. I hate Pittsburgh-Baltimore games. It's always – it's like watching Cincinnati-Pittsburgh. It's not fun. It's gross. It's brutal. Everybody's, like, on the verge of dying on the field. They all hate each other. There's mouthpieces everywhere. A piece of an ear is on the 50-yard line. There's broken fingers all over the place. It's not very enjoyable. So why did you want to talk about this game?
Because of everything you just listed out.
So you want the murder, the violence.
Like, listen, I mean,
this
come
is
on.
The purge.
This is exactly right. This is the purge of the NFL, because this is the whole thing. The NFL has been terrible with flags, and everybody's been complaining about roughing the quarterback, penalties, every single thing that you can throw, they have thrown. What is this game going to be like? This is kind of the true test of all these new rules that they're implementing. Is it? Because here's the thing. If they're really going to implement the rules when it comes to these two teams, then we're going to be, heck, what time does this game start? And then if it's 7:30, then we're not going to be able to go to bed until about 12:30, maybe 1 a.m.
Yeah.
For how many flags are going to be thrown. So I'm excited for the bloodbath. And also at the same time, I have a fantasy stake in this game. So, I'm a little pumped.
Yeah, you actually get to watch this game.
Yeah, I get to watch this game instead of, being at work, doing all that boring stuff. I like to sit at home, enjoy myself, and also freak out. But I do enjoy these two teams play each other because, you know what the records are with Joe Flacco playing against this team? With 19 games that he has played against Steelers, he's 9-10. You're talking 23 TDs to 12 interceptions for his career. And then when it comes to Big Ben versus the Ravens, we have 21 games, he's 12-9. So, Flacco and him have been pretty close. And even with his touchdowns, you even know how Big Ben loves to throw the ball. You're looking at 34 TDs, but to 22 interceptions.
Yeah.
And pretty much we're looking at the same thing. It's just two different strategies here.
Yeah.
But also, I do love the competition. We got rivalry. This is where the NFL is probably biting its nails. This is where they're warning the refs. I think it's just going to be an entertaining matchup. What do you think?
I'm not excited for it because it's just kind of like, it's just malicious and kind of gross. And like, it's also, I hate all the hitting after and the constant jawing and whatever. At least it's not Pittsburgh-Cincinnati. Pittsburgh-Cincinnati is just like, that's just a backyard street fight. And people have like swords made out of glass and they're stabbing each other with rusty spoons. This isn't to that extent, but it's still pretty gross, you know? I think that I like watching Baltimore play mainly because of their front seven.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is. Ozzie Smith is able to get like these just giant guys who can stop the run, rush the passer. And he finds them the fifth round, the sixth round. It doesn't matter. Like Tyson Bowser, like Matt Judon, like C.J. Mosley, like Brandon Williams. They just have a ton of just these monsters, and they circle in and out. Terrell Suggs.
Immortal.
Yeah, have you ever read it? Read the book.
No, I've not read the book. Like, obviously, I've seen the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I've not read the book.
At the end of the book, there's this, like, turtle that created the universe.
Oh, wait, no.
You know that. Yeah. That's Terrell Suggs. Every time I see him, I just think that's the turtle that created the universe. He's spectacular still up there. He tore his biceps 2 years ago, or tore his Achilles 2 years ago.
Are you saying he looks like a turtle?
He's still there.
Oh,
a little bit.
God.
He's still
man,
there.
That's so
he looks a little bit like a turtle, and he's very old.
Oh, you know what? Very old, but he still has it. And for me as well, when it comes to these two teams, you know it's going to be exciting. But my question as well, I really think that Pittsburgh's going to be destroyed. And I don't think Pittsburgh has it together. I truly don't. Even with last week's win against Tampa, Tampa came back.
Yeah.
I mean, are we really impressed that Pittsburgh won that game? Fitzmagic almost made it happen. And you got to explain something to me when it comes to Fitzmagic, because how does nobody intercept his balls? I mean, as weird as terminology as that is.
He's leading the league in yards at 10 with 11, or 13 right now.
But he's throwing the ball the moment. It snapped to him, and he's just lobbing it. It's not even a real pass. He's lobbing it in the air.
Yeah.
And he is saying, oh, guy's going to be there. And guess what? A guy is there every single time. I know we're not going to talk about that team, but seriously, James Winston lost his job.
Yeah.
Okay, he should. I mean, Fitzmagic is the real deal. But anyways, Pittsburgh, honestly, they lucked out. I mean, that was luck. I don't think Tomlin has control. And I do want to ask you another question. What diva would you pick? Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell? What diva is more worth? I mean, ignore all what the offensive line said, because I think that was kind of ridiculous, especially with you have Antonio acting the way he does. Who would you pick? Especially with seeing Juju.
Yeah, I'm well, if you're
I'm going to throw it. Yeah, if you're Pittsburgh, at this point.
I mean, you pick Antonio just because.
Do you regret the Antonio contract over the Le'Veon? Or are you still good with it, even after seeing how well Juju is? Or is he only that good because of Antonio?
Yeah, it's good to have both. The thing about, like, Connor is fine. You know, like, the offensive line.
Do you really think
good.
That? Because he seems like each and every single game he's regressing.
Yeah, because he's not going to have a game like he had week one against the Browns.
But that's what I mean, though. But does Le'Veon have those games each and every single week?
Yeah. But the thing about Le'Veon, I don't think Le'Veon's a diva. Le'Veon's just trying to get paid and doesn't get hurt before he gets paid. You know, and the Steelers have really, like, they did a Kirk Cousins situation. The difference is Le'Veon's refusing to play.
But I'm only considering him a diva because, listen, you smoked weed. You got busted. You have to pay some type of price for that, which is you don't get that type of money yet until we can trust you.
Well, in their past, I think they just don't want to pay a running back that much because this is the second row they franchised him. And they just don't want to pay a running back $12 million.
But even, okay, and this, again, sounds totally biased. But even watching the Cowboys with Zeke is a difference maker. You can even watch, as you and I were talking earlier today, you can even watch Los Angeles Rams. And watching Gurley. Is Gurley not a difference maker?
Yeah.
It's kind of.
I just think
there are certain guys.
Yeah, there are certain guys. I just think it's easier to find running back always. Their offensive line is really good. Then it is the final wide receiver of Antonio Brown's caliber.
I don't know about that. Only because, listen, Antonio is great. Don't even get me wrong. But he's a pain in the butt lately.
Yeah, he has been.
All right. So, in your estimation, and obviously I don't want the conclusion of this segment right now to end. It's just, do you think that Pittsburgh would beat Baltimore this weekend?
I think they're going to just because I don't think Flacco's good. Even though Flacco has
he's
been...
He's wanting to prove something, though.
Last weekend against Denver was the best game I've seen Flacco play since, like, 2014. Like, I was really super confused. I think, like...
It was solid showing.
Yeah, it was super solid.
Yeah.
And he didn't get sacked a whole lot.
No.
They ran the ball well. But also, like, he's made some really good downfield throws to John Brown. I'm so glad John Brown's back. He's so much fun to watch.
He's so much fun, exactly.
And, like, he's been out the past 2 years. Crabtree's, like, a good intermediate thrower for him. And then they have Willie Sneed.
He's the safe guy for him, it seems. And then John Brown is kind of the risk for him.
Yeah.
And that's just my estimation because it seems like Crabtree is the guy that he's willing to throw with the single coverage coming across.
Yeah.
While Brown, he's going to throw a few double coverage going downfield because he believes Brown's going to win the race.
Yeah. And then they have Willie Sneed as well, too, to throw downfield.
True.
And then also both those rookie tight ends they have been pretty capable as well in the passing game. So I think it's like the best collection of receivers Flacco's had probably since Anquan Boldin was around. And I think Boldin should be a Hall of Famer, too, from that Super Bowl. He was so good that year.
He was really solid.
Yeah, like it was absurd how good he was. But, yeah,
he made a career out of that year.
Yeah, I'm not there. Flacco's only played well, like, you know, 2 weeks this year.
I mean, but we're 3 weeks.
Typically the worst quarterback in football. And so I'm not trusting Flacco against Pittsburgh just yet. Even though Pittsburgh's secondary has been absolutely terrible. It's just been edge rushing, an okay run defense, and they can't cover anybody on the outside.
By the way, I didn't even look it up, though. But I still feel like that with Pittsburgh's secondary versus Baltimore's secondary. Which one? I feel like it's going to be a shootout. I mean, I don't see it being any other way.
Yeah.
Because unless both teams are going to be running the ball, which I don't believe they're going to be.
The problem is Flacco's a bad quarterback. So you don't really get in a shootout with Flacco.
But see, when it comes with Flacco, I get that he's proven in the past with the regular season he's a bad quarterback, but nobody can deny that Super Bowl run.
No, of course.
Yeah,
but that was also like 5 years ago now.
Yeah, listen.
That was a long time.
I'm going to hang on to that a little bit here. But also at the same time, he has to play well.
Yeah.
He has somebody coming up on his ass here.
Yeah, they
he
can
has
him
to play well. Exactly right. So he's kind of playing for the next year.
Yeah.
So he has to prove himself, which is why I'm actually going to say Baltimore. And again, I'm going back to shootout here. I'm talking 38-31.
That's crazy.
I'm crazy.
Yeah, this game never like that. I think Pittsburgh can win just because I think Baltimore has a good secondary. I know you said that, you know, they're – whatever. They don't have a great player on their secondary, but it's always good.
So.
It's always good. Also,
how old is Weddle, for God's sakes?
Weddle's like
30, Weedle.
32. I don't know. He's been around forever.
I think I made a Pokemon reference by saying
Weddle. I mean, he's been there forever, but even last year, they had the same best pass defense in football. They didn't have a great defense back on that team. They're just able to scheme really well. They play really well. They know how to pass off receivers really well. And they have a great pass rush, too. Because they have, like, 9 different guys who can rush the passer, and it's absurd.
Yeah. In the end, I'm actually – man, I think you're crazy here. I think you're absolutely crazy. Because either way, and just like what we saw against Tampa and Pittsburgh, even if Joe Flacco were to go down, which I truly believe could happen, 27-3 to end the half. But then I believe the second half is going to be Joe Flacco bringing him all the way back, which is kind of the exact same thing of last week because Pittsburgh, in my opinion, is a bad team.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. That's my bet for them this year.
Who's going to win the AFC North then? Cincy?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to put my money on Cincy for once. But obviously, for once, Marvin Lewis is still going to do Marvin Lewis. So it's going to be for once, but for the millionth time.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Still lose the first round. Whether it be the bye week, or whether it be the first week. He is going to lose the first round. But I believe they're going to win the division. Because just like what you were even trying to convince me, their defense is so good. But seriously, I think that Pittsburgh's kind of overrated.
Yeah. So you have a score? I know I guess you're saying to me.
I'm 38-31 here. I'm Baltimore side 38-31. And again, like I said, I believe that it could still be 28-3 or 27-3 in the first half. I still don't think it would matter.
I think it's going to be like 24-20 Pittsburgh, only because their secondary has been bad. Typically, this game would be like
completely different.
Yeah, typically this game would be like, you know, 19-13 Pittsburgh, but their defense has just been so bad this year that because of that, I'll give the Ravens 7 extra points. Also, I'm really excited to watch John Brown run far down the field.
Yeah, it should be fun. I'm excited for watch Crabtree.
Woo! Fantasy!
Yeah. So, do you want to talk about Miami, New England, or Kansas City, Denver?
Oh, you know what? I want to save the Miami versus New England. Let's do Kansas City, Denver. Because I'm curious. Why did you want this game?
I
got nothing. And do you just want to tell me about Patrick Mahomes being the greatest quarterback of all time?
Partly
we
that.
We get it, okay?
Partly that, but also, like, this game's usually pretty fun. Like, Denver, Kansas City is typically a fun game.
True.
Especially it's a night game, too, as well, on Monday. Everybody's super drunk and loud. And typically these two teams, like, they just kind of play enjoyable football games historically. But, yeah, like, watching Kansas City, you know, we've watched some great offenses with Manning's Colts, with the Saints. Even though we didn't really get to appreciate the Saints' offense because their defense was so bad, and they won seven games every year anyways. With New England, they're two enormous tight ends. And then also with, you know, Randy Moss, and they went undefeated that year. But, like, right now, this is even more absurd so far than those teams. Patrick Mahomes is throwing a touchdown 14% of his passes, which would be, like, the highest touchdown rate since, like, 1936, if he keeps up for the entire year, which he probably won't, but still. He's thrown 13 touchdowns and zero interceptions. And I just have, like, everything is just so spread out, and it's so fast. They've had leads of 18, 21, and 25 points in their three games. They've led the entire game, every game they play once they score. They've never been behind in any of their games. And I just kind of like the revolution's here, you know. They're pulling defenses out of the house, and they're scalping them. And you can't wear a hat and cover that up, you know. You got a hole in your head, and they've just been obliterating. And I'm still just kind of like flabbergasted by what's been happening with Kansas City.
You know why? It's because just like last year, except this is the now. Okay, so last year, whenever it came to fantasy and what everybody laughed about, and I know I keep talking about fantasy, but it's only because it's the reason why I did watch this team last year. Otherwise, I would not. But Tyreek Hill is a video game character. I mean, he truly is. The way he runs, the way he moves, everything about him, he's just a video game character to which you would turn up a guy in Madden stats all the way so that his speed was faster than everybody else. Well, here's the thing. He also has a quarterback now that is also the Madden star where you turn up his stats all the way. So you have this offense that's truly running like a video game. This is exactly how you would play in a video game if you were just building a team, doing your own thing. It's the weirdest thing to me, and it's working. Usually this team would be the too risky to where they're going to turn it over, they're going to do something bad to where they're going to blow it in the end. Rookie quarterback, I know, second year, but still rookie quarterback coming in.
Ben Simmons, rookie quarterback.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God. Don't even get me started. That was seriously Jason Tatum's award. Not going to get in it, but oh, my God. But, yeah. Where was I, actually? Whenever it came to the actual – wait, where was I? Cool. So, whenever it came to the actual playing time of the two players – where was I, actually? I'm completely lost.
You're talking about how he was a rookie quarterback.
Oh,
how he's spread out.
Yeah. So he's having to spread out now, as well as the rookie quarterback where you feel like he's going to be able to make that mistake at the end, but yet they're not making any type of mistakes, and yet their offense is truly like, you're going to have to score over 40 points in order to beat us each and every single week.
And nobody can score 40 points except for, like, Los Angeles.
Exactly right, which, I mean, begs the question. Do you think that those two teams would be able to make it to the end?
Well, I'm not – I mean, I think Kansas City's going to lose in, like, the second round of the playoffs, you know. Because
you
Kansas
think that's
City,
just an Andy Reid thing?
Yeah. But the thing that's, like, I think Mahomes right now in this offense is Andy Reid-proof in a way. Because the defense is also so bad where, like, they have to score 38 points. And so Reed doesn't really get put in the chance to script the last 2 minutes of the game to go conservative because Mahomes really doesn't let him go conservative. And so I think, like, he's the perfect quarterback for Reed in a way where he's even, like, foolproof to not allow Andy to kind of do that thing. Unlike Alex Smith where they were just, you know, poisonous relationship, always fighting with each other.
You think there was just limitations with Alex Smith?
Yeah,
that,
they
like,
just
Andy
brought out the
wanted
worst
to run
each other.
A certain type of offense.
No, because they ran this offense similar. This is just pushed to the next level because of his arm strength. Alex Smith was the best downfield thrower in football last year. But just, like, at times they got stagnant, and it was hard for them to climb out of that. And I think they just brought the worst out of each other in a way, too.
Man, I didn't even know that they had that type of turmoil. I'll be honest with you.
It wasn't, but it's
I mean,
more like,
it just
it's more
seems
purely
like it's got a negative going on right now.
Yeah, I'm not talking about like that as a narrative, but like they reality show was standing.
Dude,
or anything.
A hot take
it's like
coming
all,
from Matthew Weston right now.
On the
whoa,
field.
Kansas City drama.
So, Tyreek Hill, guess how many yards he's averaging per reception right now?
It has to be at least, I'm going to say, okay, this is just a guess.
Yeah,
I did
yeah,
not
yeah.
look it up or anything. I'm going to say 23.
22.5.
Oh my God! Look at that.
Yeah, it's absurd.
That's it, but it's a video game. That's what. That's exactly what I mean. That it's just a video game between them, and they're just having fun. And typically, you would not be able to sustain this.
Yeah.
But I don't see an end. Denver is an interesting matchup because Denver's secondary has always been solid.
John Lynch, though, it's kind of weird.
But they have young guys in there right now.
Yeah.
I feel like that it's still okay
yeah,
when
it's
it comes
okay.
to that defense,
it's,
and it's building up.
Yeah.
And even with what Baltimore did last week, it was more Baltimore played a great game, a great strategy, because that's just a team they've always played.
Yeah.
Denver, though, I mean, we're talking solid offense going. It's just, unlike you, I do not believe in Case Keenum. Okay, thank you. Do you believe Case Keenum is going to be able to keep up with Mahomes in this game?
No,
that's
I
the
don't.
Question.
My thing with Keenum was that last year was spectacular. He led the league in DVOA. There's no way it was going to happen again this year. But last year was beautiful and perfect and spectacular. And I kind of felt bad that Minnesota didn't want to keep him. What Minnesota paid Kirk Cousins for was it – Cousins was never going to be as good as Keenum was last year, but they would have to deal with the drop-off that Keenum was going to have this year. And so Cousins was kind of like that foolproof, kind of like the regression-proof plan by signing him was the idea there.
All right, so whenever it comes to these two teams, let me ask you this. With Denver especially, okay, if these two teams made the playoffs, let's say, who do you think would win? Because you're even telling me that Kansas City would lose second round. So we're talking second round of the playoffs.
Because of principles, I would pick Denver. Just because of principles.
Just for what does that even mean, Judge? Well, principle Andy Reid.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
like,
your principle.
It's like picking Cincinnati in the first round. Like you just pick against Andy
yeah,
Reid.
Well, that's just because Marvin Lewis
yeah, it's
is funny
thing.
At this point.
It's the same. It's those things where like I've kind of thought things are going to happen because it just has to happen, and it doesn't have to happen. The same thing can keep happening. And so now, like how Reid is and how Marvin Lewis is, I don't think it's ever going to happen until it actually happens. So that's kind of where I'm at with those two. Also, like, and they know Denver's defense right now. As like I said, their secondary spine, it's not great. They've kind of flipped where their run defense is better than their pass defense at the moment. And this team's all about their pass rush typically for their, and it just hasn't been as good as it should be. You know, Von Miller had 4 sacks that first game. They only had 1 sack against Oakland. Oakland has a good pass blocking offensive line, but it's not that good right now. They only sacked Joe Flacco twice last week as well, too. So it has to be better. And they're going against the Chiefs. The Chiefs' tackles are fine. Schwartz is a really good run blocker. He's not that good of a pass blocker. Or I guess average is a better way to put it. And then Eric Fisher, he struggles against really good edge rushers. And they have Shaquille Barrett. They had Chubb. And Chubb had, like, the dirtiest sack I've ever seen on Flacco. Like, he decapitated him. It was hilarious. And then Von Miller is still, like, you know.
Dude,
the
Flacco.
Second, yeah, I do.
Flacco, Flacco, man. Hold on.
2013 was 5 years ago.
Listen. We have to back up here. Because no matter what you say, do you understand? And no matter what I can even say. He had one of the greatest Super Bowl
yeah,
runs
yeah.
anyone's ever
of
seen.
Of course. I'm not going to take that away from him. That was still 5 years ago, though.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. Are they the same, or which one is better? Foles or Flacco? Who had the better run? And
Flacco
who,
had the better run.
Okay.
Because Flacco
the better
did it
quarterback?
Four games. I mean,
you're
you
even
have to say Flacco.
Okay. All right.
Because Foles had 2 really good games. Flacco had 4 out-of-your-mind games, you know. And the Patriots' defense last year wasn't good.
I agree. But that's also because Bill Belichick sabotaged them. But that's just why.
Yeah.
You know? Come on. There has still not been a reason for the Aqib Talib. There has still not been one.
And also benching, yep, or benching Butler, is what you're talking about?
Aqib
no, it was Butler. Because Talib went to Denver.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm out of it.
Yeah.
Yes, it was Butler.
You're in that other reality.
Yeah.
The one next door. Also, Denver's offense against Baltimore last week. So they scored, they went touchdown, touchdown. Then they had seven punts, an interception, and then a turnover on downs. Sorry. Yeah.
Everybody loves that.
So their run offense has been really good, but their pass offense hasn't. Keenum's like lacked that awareness. He got clobbered twice just by holding onto the ball forever after scrambling in the pocket and pulling up. And also their pass blocking hasn't been very good, but their run blocking's been very good. So which one of the running backs do you like most that Denver has? Do you like Lindsey? Do you like Booker? Do you like Freeman? Which one do you like?
I don't get the Lindsey thing. I feel like that's not going to last very long. But then again, I feel like that's also what the NFL has turned to with the whole...
With running back.
Yeah, it's just like kind of like the quick pass. Like, it's the Danny Woodhead type of guy. But also at the same time, Royce Freeman. I would say Lindsey and Freeman. They're just going to compliment each other the whole time. I don't feel like there's any room for Booker at this point.
Yeah, he's a second-round pick, too.
Yeah, and they were kind of high on him last year, saying that he was eventually going to be able to take over.
Yeah.
It's just, nope. Because yeah. Lindsey came out of nowhere.
He does remind me of Woodhead. I think he went to Colorado State or something like that.
I don't know.
I read his, like, little draft profile, and, I think he was a fifth-round pick. He played fullback in college, actually, I think. But I don't know. But that's the thing about running backs is they kind of come out of nowhere. Also, Keenum this year on downfield passes, 10 for 23, 43.5% completion percentage, 244 yards, one touchdown, three interceptions. So he's still pushing downfield, but it's not like throwing to Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs like he had last year. It's a much more difficult thing.
You know what? I just don't believe it. Case Keenum, no matter what you tell me on anything.
He was spectacular last year.
Okay, come on. I mean,
I'm not talking about this year, but last year
Nick Foles, though.
Yeah.
It's more like these guys have great 4-6 games, whatever.
Well, he like 12.
I know. Here's the thing, though. These guys always do it. Same thing with Fitzpatrick. He's made a career off of just doing these 1 years. Moore has done these 1 years to where they're just great for this brief period of time. But then what happens after? They fall.
Yeah. Well, defenses figure out what they're good at and then how to take it away.
Exactly. And the great ones are they change it.
Yeah.
They constantly change it. Even though I don't believe Brady changes it, I still don't believe how he fools defenses at this point. Because just like what I was telling you earlier, he throws those 5 to 7 yard passes. But yet they work every single time.
Yeah.
It blows my mind.
Yeah. Now I understand what you're saying. I do think that with Brady, I think what changes is like who he, I guess, throws to and how he attacks, like what part of the defense he attacks. Like he's always had that slot guy, and then they had Gronk to the seams. Last year they had, you know, really good deep throwing with Cooks and Hogan out there. And then you also have Amendola running short stuff as well, too. So he just kind of changes on how much deep throwing it is versus how much short throwing it is. This year, he doesn't really have any of it. The last thing I want to say about the Chiefs is their defense is really bad, but I think it kind of works for them.
Doesn't matter.
Because they have, like, you know, they have Chris Jones, they have Justin Houston, they have Eric Berry. So they have, like, three guys who can make, like, the three stops that they need a game. They only need to force three punts, and if they force three punts, they're probably going to lose the offense they have. And they have three guys who can do that individual on their own. And also, I think by having a bad defense, it kind of helps them in a way, too, because it doesn't allow Andy Reid to go super conservative and run the ball and then allow the other team to come back and win. So I think it all kind of like, in a really strange way, I think having a bad defense is really helpful for Kansas City. If that makes any sense at all.
Makes no sense, but it's okay. I believe that Aqib Talib played in the Super Bowl last year, so I don't think anything makes sense at this point, so we're going to go with it.
Yeah, it's hard. And I'm going to pick Kansas City to win by like 13, 17 or so.
So you don't even give Denver a shot,
yeah,
really.
Just because their pass rush hasn't been good enough. It has to be better. The talent's there, but it hasn't been there. And, like, Von Miller needs to have, like, three sacks.
But you throw your spiel about Case Keenum, and yet you just throw him to the side.
I'm saying I like him as a
player.
But I don't think he's good this year. Those are two different things. I can enjoy the aesthetics of watching Case Keenum play and still say he's not good this year and say he wasn't going to be very good entering this year.
You know what?
Take away last year, though.
I'm going to go with the upset just to throw you off. I'm going to say this first. Patrick Mahomes, bad game.
Okay.
I'm going to say 3 TDs, 2 interceptions. I'm going to talk about a score of 31-28 Denver. I believe in Case Keenum for this one game.
Good. The only other thing I'm excited about Keenum, though, too, for this one, is that he's playing in Denver in the thin air. And, like, when he throws the ball downfield, it's just going to go forever.
That's
it's
true.
Like those big old high balloon passes, you know.
And I don't think Mahomes is going to be used to it.
Mahomes is just throwing balloons. Well, he doesn't throw balloons. He just throws, you know, rockets.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to light over. Yeah, yeah. The wind, it's going to carry it. It's just not going to work out for him. That's why.
No, I think it's still,
okay, so you're still.
I think he's just going to throw the ball even harder than he usually would.
I mean, you would like that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would like it. I would like it. So, I've Kansas City win by like 17, and you're picking the upset for that one.
I'm going to pick the upset only because it's fun, and at least I would believe that Case Keenum, even though I'm not blowing him up like you.
He was great last year, and he's fun to watch play.
Yeah.
So, Miami is 3-0 right now. The New England Patriots are 1-2. And Miami has beaten the Jets, the Titans, in like a 6-hour game when Marcus Mariota got hurt. They beat the Jets 2 weeks ago, and last week they came back and beat the Raiders thanks to some tomfoolery and trickery in that one. And in all three of those games that they ended up winning, the Dolphins won one by one possession. But they've been playing very well. They've been like super effective both on offense and both on defense and on special teams as well too. And it's been like weird to see because they haven't beaten a good team yet. This is the first good team that they've faced. So what do you think about Miami? Are they frauds? Are they phonies? And New England's exposed? Or do you think Miami's a legitimately good team here?
Dude, you know what Tannehill's record is for the past 11 games?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, see, I'm even going back next year. So he's 10-1. It's insane. I don't understand the whole Miami thing. I truly don't, nor do I believe in them whatsoever. But somehow Tannehill is working out pretty darn well when he's healthy. And on the flip side, I don't believe in New England right now because we're going back to they don't have the weapons. Even though, you know how many times Tom Brady has lost to Miami in the past, I don't know, 11 years?
I think once.
It was once.
Was that last year?
Yeah,
that was last year.
Well, wait, I thought it was like earlier than that. It could have been.
They lost him last year, Monday Night Football.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Either way, I mean, we're talking 10-1. What type of record is that? But I think they look horrible. I mean, I truly do not believe in New England at this point. They don't have enough weapons for you to be able to catch a team off guard. Everybody knows you're going to Gronk.
Yeah.
Dorsett is fine, I guess. I mean, Hogan is Hogan. But he's not a slot guy, so I don't know what we're doing
here.
He's
mainly a downfield guy.
Yeah.
Like, New England.
But nothing's throwing anybody off here.
Like, their skill play, their receivers are interesting if they're, like, your fourth receiver. So, if your fourth wide receiver is Cordell Patterson, like, yeah, he can run the ball. He's a really good kick returner. We can run some kind of interesting plays for him. Dorsett, yeah, he's a deep ball guy. Hogan is fine as, like, your third receiver. You know, Gronk's one of the best tight ends in football, but he looks a little bit slower this year. I think he's having trouble separating from man coverage. And all of his catches he's made are super contested. You know, nothing's, like, been easy at all for him this year. And so, there's a big gap, you know. You're not, like, none of these guys are number one, number two receivers. And you know, it's really starting to show. And especially last week, like I mentioned earlier, Brady's just not finding anybody open. He's holding onto the ball forever and just looking and looking and looking. And I don't know. Is Josh Gordon playing this week? I haven't heard anything at all.
I thought he was going to play last week. And then, obviously, they just said, nope, he's not going to. And then this week, you can never tell. It's not like New England's going to tell anybody.
Yeah.
It's their dirty little secret.
He's just kind of like the alpha on something.
Yeah, exactly right.
The number one target receiver for New England for Tom Brady right now is James White with 24 targets.
That's insane because that just means that every single defense is just wanting to shut down Gronk, and they're just saying, "Hey, throw it to anybody else.
Yeah,
who cares?"
And then he's just dumping it down.
Yeah, exactly right.
They started Sonny Michel last week, and Michel dropped two swing passes. I thought Brady was gonna murder him. Like I've never seen a quarterback stared down a receiver like he did to Michelle. Those two drops against Detroit last week.
But that's what Brady does. Brady's going to stare down anybody that's going to drop a pass or not do their assignment. But that's also kind of the fault in them as well. Brady takes all these pay cuts. They kind of believe they don't need any of the weapons, that no matter what, their system's going to be able to work out. And for this year, Kind of like the same thing with Dallas Cowboys in a way. They believed they didn't need to pick up any receivers. They believed they didn't need to do anything, that Gronk was going to be able to do it all. And come to find out, they need somebody. And that's why they went after Josh Gordon. They need somebody to be able to get open.
Yeah.
To be able to do more than just have the double coverage for Gronk. I mean, Dorsett's fine. Brady, in my opinion, kind of overthrew him, kind of missed him on certain routes.
He's also super short, too. He's easy to overthrow.
Yeah, and that is kind of the big thing.
I can't believe he's a first-round pick still. The Colts use a first-round pick on Dorsett.
You know what, though? That doesn't surprise me because the Colts, I feel kind of bad for at this point.
I thought.
Is Andrew Luck really going to be Andrew Luck ever again? Are the Colts going to be the dominant team that they once were?
Andrew Luck can't throw the football. It's really sad.
You want to believe that he can and be able to make certain throws and do certain things like he used to.
Yeah.
But it just can't.
Well, he's super weird to watch because he's, like, great in the pocket. Like, he feels pressure well. He steps up. He knows when to run. He, like, makes a quick decision to find the open guy. He knows where to go with the ball. His touch is great. His accuracy is good. He just can't throw the football. Like, he's 31st in yards and attempted 5.3 yards. He can't put any muster on it at all, and it's super depressing. Like going back to the Dolphins, so they have played the 24th easiest schedule so far to this point, and which I guess they came out wrong. They played the 24th toughest schedule up to this point. The rest of the way, they have the 31st toughest schedule, so the second easiest schedule in football. New England, they have played the 17th toughest schedule in football. The rest of the way, they play the 10th toughest schedule because they have to play Pittsburgh and they have to play Kansas City, whereas Miami got to play Cincinnati, and then they're also going to play they put the Raiders as well, too. So if New England loses this game, the division may just be kind of like over. I know I've read some preseason stuff. One of the guys used to write for our site, he predicted the Dolphins to make the playoffs because he thought they had a really easy schedule, and then with Tannehill there, you know, they have enough talent. I thought, you know, I could see it because it would be easy schedule enough things happen, but I thought they would have to win a lot of close games. I was expecting them to play as well as they've had this year.
Dude, Amendola is their leading receiver, man. It would be a slap in the face if Tannehill just throws him 10 passes, 130 yards, two TDs in Brady's face. Then Brady's going to yell at Bill Belichick and say, what the hell?
Yeah. Well, they also gave him
hilarious
too much
money.
Amendola, he got too much money.
No, he didn't.
Yeah,
he got
like
$6 million.
Yeah, that's probably too much for him.
What are you talking about? It's $6 million for 2 years. There's an option after the first. That is not a bad deal whatsoever. You're trying to tell me that New England shouldn't have paid him $6 million?
I wouldn't.
What do they have right now?
He just gets injured so much, though, as well, too.
Matt, what do they have right now?
Well, it's different. You think about now. Whenever you make this decision, they made this decision.
Exactly, they got cocky saying they didn't need anybody. And guess what's happening?
I think a lot of that had to do with injury stuff as well with him.
Listen, Rex Burkhead's already injured.
He's on IR.
Well, he's already had like concussion problems. Too.
Yeah, then he had concussion with one.
So like, that was already a scary thing.
Him and Gillislee, both of them, I thought they were going to be spectacular in New England. They're great in Buffalo and Cincinnati, and they both didn't work out there at all, which is weird.
But that's kind of like my whole thing is, nothing is really working out with New England right now, and it's the first time ever. So I'm curious to see where their season goes because right now I do not believe they are going to go to the Super Bowl. Of course they're going to make the playoffs because it's New England, but I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl whatsoever. I'm talking first round exit. The breakup of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, full force, it is coming.
Yeah. I'm so a long ways away from me to go that far with it. Also with the Dolphins, for me, I can't like the Dolphins at all. One, their stadium is super stupid. They have these walls that are like 4 feet from the back of the end zone. And so, for example, last week, Kenny Stills called this touchdown pass against Oakland, where they had Marcus Gilchrist covered in man coverage and Reggie Nelson over the top. And he ran this post route that was open for like 7 seconds until Tannehill threw the ball. And, Tannehill made a great throw, but that kind of just, like, exemplifies Oakland. They're old and they're slow. And they have Marcus Gilchrist and Reggie Nelson double teaming like one of the fastest receivers in football. Of course, didn't work, but he catches his touchdown in the back of the end zone, slides right to this wall, and took like a vicious hit just so some big women can drink $15 margaritas and be that close to the action. But that was unbelievable. And I've always hated that stupid wall they've had there. And also, I hate their jerseys too. I hate the aquamarine. They're like the bright green and orange, the dolphin with a little helmet. That was the best. And they went and ruined it with this like aquamarine teal thing and with that like impressionist dolphin. I hate it and it sucks. And so I can never fully enjoy watching dolphins play because of those two things.
Listen, the dolphin should always have a special place in your heart. Why? Because Mac, who is Snowflake?
Oh, yeah.
Come on, man.
But that's a different jersey, though. That's a different dolphin.
It's the same color.
That's a different dolphin.
But it's the same color.
It's a different shade of green.
It's the same color. No, it's not. We're going to look this up. No, it's not. We're going to look this up.
This is like
some of their games. What do you mean this is aqua green? This is the same type of colors. Listen, Ace Ventura should always have a special place in your heart, especially because Dan Marino is in that movie and it proved he's the worst actor we've ever seen in our lives. But
I love Ace Ventura. I'm not saying it isn't. My favorite part's the beginning of it, though, when he jingles the keys and they all run away.
Dude, you want a cookie?
That shark scene really freaked me out when I was a child, too. The big great white shark.
I was not expecting that.
Yeah, it really freaked me out.
Yeah, because he just walked out like there's nothing that happened. But yet if a shark truly grabbed his leg, it wouldn't have just ripped his pants. It would have ripped his whole leg.
Well, I was like, is that what it's like to be an adult? You go to parties, there's just sharks everywhere? Really scared me.
And also, it showed that you can still show old people your food when you put it in your mouth and chew it up. And then if they kind of piss you off, you can...
As long as you have confidence, you can do whatever you want.
Exactly right. And then, of course, leave and then, check out somebody's ring and, the whole story.
Yeah, we know. But it's a different dolphin. It's a different color. So I can't really ever...
I'm not going with the color argument.
But there's also two guys I really like watching in Miami. One's Xavier Howard. He hasn't given up a touchdown since week 10, not last year, the year before that. He's been one of the best cornerbacks in football so far this year. And he's also, a better receiver than most receivers. His interception against the Jets, Tannehill had that Jameis Winston fumble. The Jets were driving and possibly tying the game. And Xavier Howard picked off Terrell Pryor. He was the better receiver on that play. And also that Jeremiah Grant guy they had, that's the fastest little man I've ever seen. It's like watching Darren Sproles. And he had two big touchdowns last week as well. He got the reverse pass and then also caught a short little jet sweep and scored against Oakland too. And that guy's one of the fastest players I've ever seen.
You know what? The way you just said short little guy, I feel like I should be offended. I don't understand that type of wording. But I'm going to go along with it. Either way, I feel like Miami – I actually think Miami is going to beat them kind of handily in this game. I don't have confidence in New England, especially after the last game against Detroit. They just don't look good. I feel like it's going to be the same type of deal to where people are going to go out there. They're going to know the game plan for Brady. He's just going to be three and out each and every single time. Tannehill is on a roll, and I feel like he's comfortable. He's going to his strengths right now. Just like you said, he has weapons around him at this point in his career.
And they're all, pretty good.
Exactly.
He doesn't have anybody great around him.
But he doesn't need anybody great because as long as they can just run smoothly through the offense, they're going to be able to score points. And it's all about the other team being able to keep up. And I don't think New England can keep up. I just don't think New England can score points at this point. We'll talk next week whenever it comes with them having Edelman back. But at this point, I just don't think they have enough.
Yeah. Tannehill, he has a completion percentage of 73%. Breeze is first in the league right now at 80%, which is the silliest thing I've ever seen. And also, Tannehill's averaging 9.3 yards an attempt. Brady's averaging 6.4, which is the 24th in football. I mean, Miami's playing better than New England right now. They're the better team than New England right now. I'm still going to pick New England because it's New England. They're 1-2. This is never a game that I've ever seen them lose at all. As long as Brady's been healthy,
the breakup is coming.
My thing is, I wouldn't be shocked if New England lost. Like, I would have a heart attack and be like, what is going on out there? I would just be very surprised. So I don't think it's going to happen, but I could definitely see it happening. So I think New England can win, like, I don't know. I feel like I keep saying it in the 20s. I would say, like, 31-24.
You know what I'm going to go with right now here?
Yeah.
We're talking blowout here.
Okay.
We're talking big-time blowout.
27-14,
Tannehill and the Dolphins.
Yeah.
You know why? Because Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, had the same colors as they do now.
As soon as...
I mean, this is ridiculous.
As soon as
the show
ends,
this is absolutely ridiculous.
It's the first
course
of action.
You're like, yes.
I'm so upset about this uniform change. Yeah, it should be an interesting game, though. It's kind of a weird week where there's, like, the only other game I think that's super interesting is the Chicago game. But then everything else is just kind of, you know, wishy-washy from there.
Yeah, I don't have anything else that I truly want to pay attention to besides, obviously, the conference games that I have with the Dallas Cowboys because of my biasness, and I have a problem because I love. But, I mean, with Washington having a bye week, Philly being Philly, heck, I don't even think I know who Philly is playing against.
They're playing
New York.
Tennessee.
Yeah, see, kids, here's the thing. How many quarterbacks does Tennessee have at this point that are
it's
healthy?
It's just Marcus now.
And it's just Marcus. And it's Marcus. He said he couldn't feel anything after last game. I don't even know if that's okay. Should that even be allowed at this point? He said he couldn't feel anything. Is he going to feel anything after
a
week?
I think it makes you a better football player if you don't feel anything.
What does that even mean?
I don't know. I feel bad for them. I feel bad for Blaine Gabbert. Jacksonville cracked open whenever he went down.
Yeah.
Like, six guys hit him at the same time.
You really feel bad for Blaine Gabbert?
Yeah, I do.
No, you didn't.
I'm proud of Gabbert, though.
What do you mean
he went
proud
from
of him?
The worst rookie quarterback of all time to, like, an okay backup quarterback. He's come a long way to become an okay backup quarterback.
What are you even talking about right now? He's not that good.
He's an okay backup quarterback.
He's an okay backup quarterback.
Yeah.
What has he done as a backup quarterback that
he's
made you say that
he's football game.
What football game did he win as a backup quarterback?
He beat Houston week two. He won a few games last
year.
You
just said that you despise your team.
Yeah, it's a badly coached team.
Okay.
He's an okay backup quarterback, though.
I just don't even understand what you're saying.
Like, he's gone from – I see he went from one of the worst quarterbacks of all time to a pretty good backup quarterback.
No. Okay.
That's the hero's journey.
Okay, would you rather have Fitzpatrick Moore as your backup?
Which Moore? Are you talking about Matt Moore?
Yeah, Matt Moore. What Moore am I talking? Yeah. Well, what other Moore are we talking here?
Kellen Moore.
Kellen Moore is the quarterback coach for the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, I kind of like it, too.
I think I'd rather have Matt Moore Fitzpatrick, of course. But I'm saying, like, it's not... You know, I'd rather have Blaine Gabbert than Matt Castle or Brandon Whedon or I don't know. There's a lot of backup quarterbacks out there.
You don't even like backup quarterbacks. See, you're just full of it at this point. Blaine Gabbert's the worst. Seriously, though, I watched the newest episode of Survivor. It was really good. It's called David versus Goliath. And it's pretty much, they might as well call it rich people versus poor people.
Oh, okay.
That's all it comes down to. I mean, you have people that there was this woman who was hilarious because, you know, Jeff, the host, I think he's a total a-hole. He asked a question. He goes, oh, this woman over here on the Goliath team, how did you come up? She goes, oh, I came up from modest surroundings, nothing special. I worked hard. Hey, sir, from the David team, where'd you come up of? One parent, my dad, he was just by himself after my mom left us. I had to work hard. I did not go to college. I did not do anything. And Jeff just looks at her and says, that's what I thought. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
Nobody realizes it, but the host of Survivor is the worst human being alive.
I haven't watched it since Colby in the Outback. Now I'm like 7 years old. So
Colby in the Outback was like, what was it, season 4?
That was like 97.
Oh, my God.
That was the only season of Survivor I ever watched.
Oh, my God. I'll put it to you this way. You're missing out.
And he didn't even win either. The little woman from Tennessee won too. It was nonsense.
Whoa, wait. Yeah, and she played everybody.
Yeah.
Which I still don't understand how Colby lost.
I would have to go back and watch it again.
I would too, because she really did go through the entire show without doing anything.
Yeah. I would like get really excited. And we I would make my mom buy some Colby Jack cheese, so I'd eat Colby Jack cheese.
Colby Jack cheese.
Yeah,
as well.
And watch Colby watch The Survivor.
I'm sure you had an obsession more than just a fandom.
No, I mean, I was like 7 and weighed like 130 pounds. So.
I stand by what I said.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else you would talk about before the weekend? Some, we watch football on Sunday, and you know the butterflies turn into moths and back into butterflies again.
No, other than go check out Batman Dam number 1. I'm going to throw that out there still. Batman's penis, it's there.
Yeah, if you need something to do during the game or leading up to the game, you can see Batman's penis.
It's there.
And that's probably more enjoyable than watching Houston lose to Indianapolis this weekend.
It's in color.
So, anyways, that's you know, kind of our preview for week 4 this week. We'll try to do this again next week for week 5, new similar format. We just preview 4 games because, again, it's been very difficult. I still want to enjoy football. This is a way to help enjoy football as well, too. For the rest of the year. But anyways, thank you for listening tonight. And my name's Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to Bell Red Radio. And thank you for talking to me, Taylor.
My name's Taylor. Woo! Go Cowboys! I hate my team.
I thought it was pretty good.